And that was also from the AWOL compilation number 3, and it's called Fine Arts Militia, project from Chuck D, Public Enemy. And in the studio, we have two of the SUV action group, the Sheep United for Victory, and they were out today at the Union Square area, I believe, to...
That's right.
Tell us what you're up to down there and what was happening for Buy Nothing Day.
Well, we were down there today on Union Square reminding people to do their good duty as consumers and go out and continue to consume and buy and consume as many products as possible before the Christmas season so that we can basically ruin the biosphere in the shortest period of time possible.
Wait a minute, I had no idea. Maybe this is the wrong group. We were supposed to be talking about buying nothing, and you guys are out there encouraging people to buy stuff? Wait, explain
Absolutely.
This.
Well, we were there really to celebrate the herd mentality that gets us all through our American lives. And we wanted to pay homage to the great shepherds in Washington and the great shepherds of the economy who tell us that our duty as citizens is to buy a lot of stuff. And in San Francisco, people buy a lot of stuff, so we wanted to go out there and flock with them and blend with them and encourage them and let them know they were doing a great job.
Wow. Well, I bet there was a huge flock out there then today, being the
millions.
Most, the biggest shopping day of the year, as
yes,
they say.
It's crazy.
So, I don't know, just hearing what you said there reminds me of right after September 11, George Bush was encouraging all of us to go out, fly airplanes, go to Disney World, do lots of shopping. And so
our very own Willie Brown as well. He was the one who came up with the America Open for Business graphic with the flag decorated, the shopping bag that was actually made out of the American flag.
Yeah.
That was Willie.
All right.
Leave it to Willie.
Yeah, yeah. I a special responsibility for
Slick
us, the San Franciscans, to to follow that one up.
Hmm. Well, do you all have like you give out awards for the people who represent the best of the shepherds or the best of the in the flock?
The no, because that would imply that we had individual identities, which is which is not what we're about. We're about the Gap and Old Navy and bringing Gap and Old Navy clothes to everyone. But as far as the people that we're honoring, I think just the passive obedience that we have to offer is the greatest reward that we can give to Davia and his cohorts.
Huh. Wow. I'm a little discombobulated now. I don't know where to start with my questions. How long has the SUV action group been in effect?
Well, the first one came about in 2000 on Buy Nothing Day. It was originally a prank that we came up with and got Cacophony Society involved with, and Sheep United for Victory was what grew out of that.
Okay. So where can I go from here? Yeah, tell us about some of the visual. Give us some visuals of what was happening with the.
Well, there were about 20 of us in the flock, and most of us had our sheepy masks on, some homemade and some plastic. Yay, plastic. And
costumes on hate, folks.
Yeah, yeah.
Those weren't purchased, were they?
Not on Buy Nothing Day. We just move around as a herd and greet as many shoppers as we can. And people tend to be sort of confused when they see us because they're not sure if we're on their side or not. And they don't understand necessarily why people in sheep masks with fake money stuck out of their mouths and handcuffs, being handcuffed to advertisements and sale ads and stuff. And we moved around downtown and paused as a herd to genuflect and worship in front of lots of 50% off sale storefronts, and we worshipped outside the Gap for a while. And then we went in the Gap, and surprisingly, they let us hang out there for quite a while. We usually get kicked out of places pretty quick, but the Gap, they were very, very, it was almost as if they were happy to see us in there. And then we went to the San Francisco Shopping Center, where they're always less happy to see us, And they try to make us leave by way of the elevator so nobody sees us. But we know that we have the right to herd onto the escalators and talk to as many of our brethren as we possibly can and just let them know what excellent Americans they are for coming out on their day off after the Thanksgiving holiday and to spend it shopping. Good for them.
Yeah.
You know, because if it wasn't for these absurd levels of consumption, you know, the figure thrown around is that the United States, with around 300 million people, uses half of the world's resource usage. We wouldn't be able to embark on these other, you know, fine exports of America, such as wars. You know, we really wouldn't have the need to go into other nations and screw with their foreign policy as much if it wasn't for, you know, the massive consumption that we have here. So we're really doing our part for America in more ways than one. You know, we're definitely giving a reason to go to send our boys to places where they may never have thought to go before, you know, find places like Iraq.
Mm-hmm. Is there any SUV contingents around the world? Like, are there Middle East SUV groups, Sheep for Action in, say, Baghdad, Israel?
I don't know. I would think that any place where people believe that the best way is the American way, that shouldn't just be limited to America. No, I suppose something like this could spring up just about anywhere.
Could be some new international sheep union developing here, I think. Well, maybe I could ask also if you have things in does this group work throughout the year? I mean, this is just this one day, and maybe
By Nothing Day is definitely a central is a focal point for obvious reasons. Because if nobody bought anything on the biggest shopping day of the year, clearly something would be wrong. But I've heard some talk about the inauguration. The upcoming inauguration might be a good opportunity for us to get together and show our support for Great Shepherd W.
All right. And, well, yeah, maybe I could get your opinion of what just happened with this this last so-called election or selection, and how does that make the sheep feel?
I think it's an excellent confirmation of what I've believed all along, which is that we really are of one mind, one great big sheepy mind. And if we're all of one mind, think how easy it'll be to tell us all the right thing to do. And how comforting that is to know that there's one source for that advice, and if we just follow it, in such a nice way, and what could be nicer than shopping? Really, it's a good life. I think we're all on the right road.
Yeah. Getting a question handed to me. How do the people in the stores react? Okay. It took me a moment to read this penmanship.
Actually, the most interesting thing is the way that the employees at the Gap react usually, which is they really seem genuinely happy to see us. or maybe that shouldn't be surprising. They should be happy to see us because we're there asking people to buy more stuff, right? The shoppers themselves tend to kind of they get a little confused at first, and then some of them. Some of them tell us how good they feel with the stuff that they've bought. Some of them drag their children away from us as fast as they can. Some people get kind of angry. In Buy Nothing Day of 2001 was kind of scary because people really thought that what we were doing was a little frightening. But mostly people either just sort of stare blankly or smile and sort of enjoy the bleating.
Do you all get into any scuffles with the more traditional Buy Nothing Day groups that are encouraging the sort of anti-shopping mode? Are there other groups out there? Maybe
occasionally in an irony-starved environment, that happens. That does happen sometimes. And there's also, you know, this being San Francisco, there's sometimes a cultural barrier to the type of action that this is. And so we do sometimes have to stop and explain ourselves a lot. Sometimes the PETA people don't like it that I have a coat with a fur collar and they don't see the sheep mask as any kind of, that doesn't mitigate the horrificness of my fur collar to them. So I get yelled at by PETA a lot. But those things are usually pretty easily ironed out with a little friendly talk back and forth.
Yeah, you know, the big problem with irony deficiency is that it actually can't be treated with supplements. And, you know, that's a comment that I, that brings up a comment that I'd like to make about activism on the West Coast in general, which is that I feel that people really need to look at the big picture and at the big issues, and that activism that involves altering your particular lifestyle to, in a sort of a reformist way, where you attempt to, say, be a better consumer by consuming, you know, eco, what my friend, the radical cartoonist Nina Paley dubbed eco stuff. You know, in this day and age, for a lot of us, that just doesn't really cut it. You know, we need to get more serious. We need to get more radical. You know, these mild reformist lifestyle type changes on their own just don't do it. And I think we need to seriously change, go beyond just questioning it, change the culture of consumerism.
Okay. I'm just going to play a little track here that's coincidentally called Ba. And I want to come back and ask you one more question when we come back. And thanks. I'm really excited that the sheep could come down to Enemy Combatant Radio today. And yeah, we'll come back right after this track. Track from Okapi called Ba, And we're back with the sheep, and we wanted to, get into economic territories.
Yeah, during that last track, we were just talking here in the studio. I was asking, in terms of bringing the anti-consumerism to the next level, what would that entail? What's a plan for action?
Well, that's a big question. let's start with saying that with this project, this is in the educational realm, because challenging consumerism still needs to be largely on a media level and on an educational level, where we're spreading the idea of fighting consumerism. It's not that it doesn't need to be taken to the next level, it's just that there are appropriate phases to work through. And I mentioned earlier about, the lifestyle of consumerism and how reformist consumerism wasn't really an answer. Well, now we're at the stage now where we're promoting opposition to consumerism, period, not just better consumerism. And from there, I think we can move on. But, the obvious thing is that I, for one, I can't speak for the other sheep. I, for one, have serious problems with capitalism as an ideology, and see this in sort of a larger world terms. We need to be promoting alternatives to capitalism, and that's what it comes down to.
Did you want to comment?
I have yet to learn of a political system or a governmental system that's not corruptible, whether that's socialism or anarchism or anything else. Lately, I just have been trying to come to terms with the fact of the human brain being a primate brain. and it seems like our whole history has shown that our instincts are to compete and to hoard and to make sure that we have enough, even if that means a lot of other people don't. And I don't really, it's difficult to find any examples in human history of any way that that's ever been fixed for any long period of time or any sustainable period of time. So I'm a little out of loss.
In terms of looking at our animal friends, though, I mean, there are lots of examples in animal societies of
right.
cooperative.
Yeah, an animal society, sure. But that's not us.
It's our history. I mean, it is in terms of the primate brain.
I think, we're still in the process of reclaiming a lot of lost information in this culture. Most of us, I don't know, when I went to school, my history didn't cover labor history. I remember discovering in my 20s that Jack London was a socialist after having read his books in the mm-hmm. school system. Mm-hmm. There's so much of this information that's lost, and I think that this animal example is particularly appropriate. One of the lost pieces of history that stands out to me here is Pyotr Kropotkin's work. For those of you who aren't familiar with Kropotkin, he was a leading anarchist theorist. He was also the head of the Geographical Society in Russia at the time. He had been born a prince but eschewed the title. and one of his major works was, his theory of mutual aid, which is the mutual assistance, was, this being a primary basis for the way that societies work, as opposed to, at the time, the social Darwinists were promoting this survival of the fittest idea, which is still very prevalent in our culture, and which, unfortunately, Darwin himself was not comfortable with. Darwin himself saw this as a misinterpretation of his ideas, and Kropotkin actually challenged the social Darwinists on this concept quite successfully. But again, this is more of the information. This is historical information that has largely been lost in our current culture.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And on the sort of social Darwinist note, I think I've mentioned this before on ECR, but it was one of the classic tenets of support for the individualist doctrine is the prisoner's dilemma. And the iterated prisoner's dilemma is sort of a computer programming kind of competition that takes place every year. People sort of, it's basically the sort of proves that individualist, you know, choices are more advantageous than working cooperatively. But just this year, it was actually proved that, you know, under the new circumstances, that cooperation actually outcompeted individualist action in a particular scheme where you have multiple agents that cooperate together rather than just two. So it seems that the more people you have working together, the greater your likelihood for beating out the individualists.
And it starts to come down to a question of how many groups there are, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, and that's what I was kind of meaning by the primate brain idea, is that there you have each sort of, I don't know what you call it with apes. Is it? It's not herds. flocks of apes. And every flock has its alpha male. And those alpha males compete with each other for as much territory and food as they can get, and they will destroy any other neighboring flock mm-hmm. of apes that they can. And I think that's there's no question that humans are really, really good at acting like flocks of apes and picking their alpha male and you know, sort of taking over as much, you know, making sure that their group is going to be as well provided for as possible, regardless of what that means to other groups. So that we're really good at. But it seems like until we manage to, you know, I hate to say this, is really corny, until we're all one big group and can think like one big group, and that's the thing that I just don't really, I can't find any reason to think that humans have really evolved to do that. We seem kind of hardwired for the smaller groups against each other kind of thing than the one big group.
I just wanted to make a note here in that Sheep United for Victory has no official ideological stance. Okay, this was a group that's come, this is something that's been created by, you know, diverse individuals who came together under this idea. You know, originally this was my idea. I shared it with a friend who, you know, in many ways he and I have a lot of political arguments. He's really more, you know, he's a sort of a liberal Democrat, and I'm an anarchist, you know, and then we brought it to other people who have completely different political ideas. So, again, I just want to be clear that the political ideas that I'm talking about here are my own, and that they're not part of the group, because the group is
mocking consumerism. The group has no ideas, right?
Yeah, they have no ideas, right. The group, you know, these are people who we've come together, and, you know, here I'm being out of character, to mock consumerism, and that, you know, that's about the extent of it, where, you know, we're getting beyond just simply better consumerism, and we're getting to the point where consumerism as a lifestyle is wrong.
This is making me think just about the recent proposition on stem cell research, and how would the Sheep United for Victory feel? That would they be a better functioning group if they were cloned sheep?
I would be so happy if I could have been designed to be hypoallergenic and glow in the dark. I don't see how anybody can be against that.
Oh, that's it.
I would be a better product.
Do you think we could be expecting these glow in the dark sheep by next year?
Oh, I hope so. And I hope they're on sale.
Oh, great. Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll look forward to that for next year then. Could be 2005. Buy Nothing Day will be very exciting with the new breed of sheep that we have out there. And want to thank you all for coming in, and we can definitely have more conversation, maybe out of character, another time, and invite you all back in to hear what else you're doing throughout the year. So thanks for coming in, and
thanks. Thank you.
Bah more stuff.
Bah more stuff.
All right, and let's see, I'm going to segue here to a track from Liebach. The track is Wirtschaft ist tot, which is the economy is dead. And we'll talk a little bit more about a more militant style of culture jamming, and maybe if we have time, a little bit of the history of Liebach. This is Wirtschaft ist tot.